Allison, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, KP.
There's big news on Capitol Hill right now, I know the hard work that you all have been doing over the course of the last decade even has really paid off, and we've seen the House pass the Equality Act, and now it faces kind of an uncertain future in the Senate. You want to give us a little bit of background? I know that there were Republican support back in the day. I don't know if that still is holding true, but how does the passage of the Equality Act in the Senate looking right now?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really good. It's a bright day to have this pass in one part that it's going to need to finally get through. Overall, it points to the bigger picture of how progress has been moving forward steadily in our country over the last few decades. And I think this being, an amendment to the Civil Rights Act, we're seeing what we completely expected is pushback on trying to amend the bill that was passed a number of years ago that didn't necessarily spell out protections for our community. But I would argue that the spirit of it was there to create bills that would protect marginalized communities such as ours. And I think we've seen that in a lot of federal court cases that have upheld the definitions of what the key components of the Civil Rights Act meant anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about the major opposition to this bill. I know I've seen a lot around religious freedoms. Can you kind of explain that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, it's hard for me to talk about necessarily the opposition to this because I sometimes don't understand it myself. And I think it can be confusing because, as we've seen, there is overwhelming support actually in the religious community to passage of this bill. I think for some people, they do see it as an attack on their religious liberties. And what they are saying specifically is that they feel it interferes with their faith and their beliefs. But what we've seen, it's very clear established case ruling, is that religious liberty only applies to how you worship, in our private lives, but that those kind of things do not come over into public employment, accreditation, housing, et cetera. There is no place for that. And I mean, it seems fairly obvious that if we ever did open the doors to that, then we would actually be limiting some of the notions that our country was founded on, which is freedom for all Americans. And we would never want to open up the doors to something that would necessarily limit that freedom.
Yeah, it seems to me like I'm hearing a lot of the same rhetoric that was used here in North Carolina around the bathroom bill.
Yeah, it really is. And again, these things are founded on false narratives that are put out and not actually on fact. Because when, just like HB 142 and HB 2 and the bathroom bill, when we ask people, well, I hear your fears, can you show me where your fears have been founded from? What's an actual example of a case where this has happened? And no one can ever point to that. So I think, when I look at these bills and when I see people standing up and saying it violates their freedom, again, I ask, where is that? And have yet to have anybody give me a concrete example of that happening.
Yeah. I know in the House, when the passage happened, I think there were 4 to 6 Republicans that joined Democrats in getting that through the House. We live in a state where we have 2 GOP senators, and I'm wondering what we can do to, I know Madison Cawthorn, our representative, voted against it. All of our representatives voted against it here in North Carolina. What do we have to do to get our senators on board with this?
Well, I think that's very tricky. I just want to roll that back a little bit and state that when the Equality Act actually came up for vote previously, there were some Republican legislators who did vote for it, who did not vote for it this time. If the same legislators who voted for it last time would have done that now, it actually, you know, that would it would have passed with more of a majority.
That you're talking about in the House itself?
Yes. I believe there were two that did not vote for it this time that did vote for it last time. And I think that kind of points to our legislators in North Carolina and some other GOP legislators. I think that points to this overall rollback that we've seen in politics from conservative viewpoints that, you know, a few years ago or a decade ago would have been more willing to work toward a middle. And we've seen some of that roll back. So I don't know that there's much hope to get our actual legislators in North Carolina to vote for the Equality Act, because I believe as a party, we're seeing politics in general, especially on the GOP side, just kind of roll back to a harder stance.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is a bill that's going to have to pass on a 60-40 vote in the Senate. Do we have any sort of Republican support for it that you know of?
You know, everything I try to read as much as I can about this. I also stay in touch with people who are in these circles on a federal level. It does seem like a very hard number to get to. I'm not going to say impossible because, you know, you just never know until the votes actually come up. I would say that it is going to be very challenging.
Mm-hmm. So what do you tell your supporters now? What mm-hmm. can they be doing around this issue?
Well, I think, you know, as always, exercise your freedom to contact your legislators and be very clear about what you want to see them pass. Don't use form letters. If I was going to give people advice, it's to stay away from form letters and just to write from the heart or speak from the heart about what it means to you for these bills to pass and the impact it has on your lives or your friends and family. Also, remember that, you know, elections come around and we have options to encourage people to vote for other candidates who may be more amenable to what they want to see elected.
Thanks, Allison. I appreciate that. And and I hope people adhere and listen to what you're saying. On a more local level and local note, there is some positive movement in getting some a similar sort of act passed local ordinance-wise. And I know I talked to Councilwoman Kim Roney last week about this issue. And she pretty much said the same thing, that that folks need to contact council and pressure them, even though there's support there and we have a pretty progressive city council. It's just one item amongst dozens that they're looking at. So any encouragement there from you all about passing something locally?
Yeah, the non-discrimination ordinances that we are trying to get passed here, and by we, I mean the Campaign for Southern Equality, who I work for, and Equality North Carolina, we've teamed up to get these passed across North Carolina. And Asheville and Buncombe County are just two of the municipalities that we've been in talks with to get these kind of things passed. And in the other cities and counties that pass in North Carolina, including Asheville and Buncombe, what we hear over and over from elected officials is that they would like to hear more from the people who live and work in those districts. And I think for Asheville and Buncombe, this is really important because sometimes I think we tend to sit on our laurels and think, well, you know, obviously they're going to vote for something like this. And the problem with that is if nobody's speaking up, the legislators who are elected, such as Kim, like you just mentioned, they don't hear from people, and they really don't know how much support they're going to get. They have a good idea about how much pushback they're going to get because those people are being vocal. So I encourage people to be vocal on the positive side too. There's a lot of ways to do that. We've created a website to help people. It's called ncisready.org. It gives people ways to connect with their local political representatives, especially here in Asheville City and Buckland County governments, and let them know that you'd like to see this pass. And you don't have to live here. A lot of people live in bordering counties but work in Asheville and Buckland. Well, this affects them. It affects their friends and family. You don't just have to have an Asheville or Buncombe address for this to affect your lives.
Mm-hmm, true that. I'm one of those people, in fact. So I have contacted.
There you go. Yeah. KP, do it for yourself.
Well, I appreciate your time, Allison. Anything else you want to add before we let you go?
You know, I think right now we're seeing the rise of a lot of LGBTQ, anti-LGBTQ bills in the South. I hear from my community, and as a queer trans woman myself, I know that it can feel very dark and it can feel very negative. And one of the most hopeful things for me personally, when I look at the map of all the anti-trans sports bills and anti-LGBTQ legislation that is trying to be pushed through in all these governments in the South, North Carolina stands out as not having one single anti-LGBTQ bill on the books or in process right now.
Nice.
And I think that's progress, because we led the way with HB2, and we also stood up that it wouldn't be tolerated. And when you look at that map and you see the pushback that we did, it was effective, because here we are in 2021 when we could easily be one of those states, and we're not. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, is a huge point to progress.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thank you for your work in making that happen. And thank you so much for your time as well.
Yeah, thank you, KP, and appreciate you and for taking some time to discuss this issue.